Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Goldenrod City Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle TCG Cast!
Hello, hello, Puckleonianers, and welcome to episode 40! Yes! 4-0 of the Puckle TCG Cast. I can't believe we're already at the 40 number, really rapidly growing up to 50. I can't wait for that. But before that, of course, I am Lord Yashir, your host here in the Puckle TCG Cast. And Puckle, of course, stands for Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name our fearless leader Thatch came up with, regardless of how many times he tries to blame one of us that we did. And we have a great show for you tonight. We are going to discuss the amazing cards coming up in the set in February, Ultra Prism. These cards are way amazing, and we just cannot wait to discuss them before till our review episode. We just have to tackle them right now and see what this could mean for the meta going forward. But before we go forward, let's go back, because we're going to, in Topical Beach, we are going to discuss the London International Championship that happened about 2-3 weeks ago. We have some amazing results from that and some great decks, which definitely are showing that the meta and standard is just absolutely amazing, and it's great time to play Pokemon TCG. But before all of that, let's introduce our amazing co-host. We shall start with, some say that he's the only man alive that can plug a USB drive without turning it on first try. It's Basket!
Okay, that's absolutely not true. It takes me so many tries to get that thing in there. It happened just now when we were starting recording with my mic. So
it's, yeah, you plugged it in, it didn't work. You unplug it, you turn it, you try to plug it in, doesn't work again, and then you unplug it, you turn it once to the original, put it in, and now it works.
That's
because
exactly
for whatever reason, USB works that way. but we'll leave that to a USB drive podcast, because we're going to continue on with, some say that he can actually plug a wired headphone on an iPhone 7. It's R Sigma!
You know, it takes a lot of work to mod those iPhone 7s to get that to go.
Not to mention, you know, probably...
Yeah, you need a drill. Just drill it right in the bottom, and there you go.
Yep.
that's how YouTube says it. If Facebook says that's the way it is, that's the way it is. Who am I to argue the internet? It's always right. Now, guys, I want to ask you guys, what have you guys been up to in Pokemon TCG? Basket, let's start with you. What have you been up to?
So, unfortunately, I'm coming into this completely in the dark.
Really? That's good, though.
Because you guys are saying this is a great set. I haven't had a chance to look at it because I took a week-long vacation to go see my parents in Kentucky for Thanksgiving, and that was a lot of fun.
Nice.
So coming back, I ended up just having to try and make up all the shifts that I had missed at work. So I have literally had no time, but I'm excited to go over this set because you guys have been saying that it's got some pretty good cards in it, so I'm excited to go over
it. Oh, yes, it really does. It's stupid is the word I like to say. It's stupid and disgusting how good these cards are. But first, Sigma, what have you been up to?
I built the Gorgeist deck.
Yes, which you beat me with yesterday about four times, or at least two times legitimately, and every single time after that was server error because the universe said, no, Jishiro, you will not beat our Sigma. I'm sorry, it's just not going to happen.
It's such a weird deck, though.
It is.
Never did
weird
I think
deck.
I was going to be playing a deck with four dashing pouches.
I think that those words never actually came out of the word of no one. But it does look a lot of fun, and you guys know me, fun decks, that's my my bread and butter. That's what I enjoy playing. The future looks bright regarding that aspect. Myself, in terms of the TCG itself, I've not been doing much, unfortunately, since November. November has been a really busy week, month for me, but I've been playing the Pokemon game a lot, the Ultra Sun, and I just beaten this morning while I was at work. Please don't tell anyone. I beat the Elite Four, and now I'm finally at the Team Rocket episode, and I'm just having a blast with that. But I do have a list of decks that I want to build for next week for streaming. Guys, a shameless plug, if you guys do not know, please go to twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast. We have a great channel there. You can see me Mondays and Wednesday battling out in the TCG. You got Thatch playing his the video game and doing his video game battling with you guys. And we also have Scrawn doing his different... I don't know exactly what Scrawn does. What does Scrawn does on the channel?
Whatever he feels like.
Whatever he feels like? Okay, so I assume that includes Nuzlocke and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Last time I checked, I was watching him do a Nuzlocke, but that was a while ago.
So. Yeah, and then we have Shenmue, who does the shiny hunting as well, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so we're just going to keep spreading that.
No, so dude, we have a show for everyone on our Twitch channel. You definitely should go there and visit us and just enjoy and partake with us, because when we go on the Twitch channel, mostly it's to just have a blast with you guys. We interact with you guys. It's not about us watching. For those of you who do follow me on Twitch, I'm always saying I'm not the best. I'm far from it, right? But it's all about having fun, and I just love enjoying having fun with you guys. And when you guys challenge me, because I take challenges from our viewers, and beat me, that's the best thing ever, because that just fills me with so much joy that we have such great battlers in Puckle that they can definitely tackle the best of them out there. Sorry, I went on a tangent there on our Twitch channel. Let's go. Let's roll it back in, because we have so much to talk about on the show tonight. So let's not dilly-dally anymore. So let's go ahead and first with the news. So let's go ahead and drop it. And we are back with the news, and so much to talk about regarding the new Ultra Prism set that is arriving in the US in February. It is pretty much incredible, this set that we are seeing that is heading our way. Now, before we do get there, since we're going to talk a lot about Ultra Prism, let's do some house cleaning first. We still, I would like to remind you guys that we still are having our segment tax that I requested you guys, that you guys with talent, you guys with the time and the desire to do them. We are recording new tags for the show. Those are the segment cutters, of course, like the news, topical beach, deck of the episodes and so forth, trainer's mail. We are looking for you guys. If you have a great idea, either be musical, either be just talking, either be making voices, whatever you can think of, guys. If you have a good idea for a segment cutter on the show, please contact me, send when a singer does something, what's called that? It's a demo. Oh, your demo.
There we go.
Send your demos out to pucklepodcast@gmail.com, and we will assign the winner five TCG digital TCG boosters of the most recent set for whoever, for each segment we choose. So if we choose three of your segments that you, set, we're going to send you 15 boosters for your PTC Duo Online. So do not miss a beat on that. Send your request. We already received some. I'm so happy with that. I thought no one wanted to, but yes, we already see some. So I'm super excited to receive even more. So please remember, guys, send over your demos with what you think will be a nice, cool segments, cutters for our show. Please keep it, of course, PG. This is a family show, although I know every once in a while a few words escape us. And of course, nothing that might be offensive to anyone of any race, sex, culture, gender, whatever. So just make it be nice and fun. Now with that, let's move on to what it is important, and that's Ultra Prism. Ultra Prism is a set coming in February, and already we're still almost 3 months still away, 2 months and a half away from it, and it's already causing chaos because the cards that are showing up are just ridiculously good, and we could not just not talk about them until the review episode. It's impossible because they really are going to change a lot of things in the game. So let's go ahead and start with that right now with, yes, I just mentioned the words changing meta and creating chaos, and the first Pokemon I'm going to start with is Leafeon, which does not represent any of what I just said, but the card itself is still pretty nice. Now, Leafeon GX is our newest evolution in GX form that is coming out. It has 200 HP, which basically aligns with Espeon and Umbreon. It's a stage 1, as you guys already know, and it has an ability and 2 attacks. Its first ability, it's called a Nature's Breath. Once during your turn, before you attack, if this Pokemon is your active Pokemon, you may heal 50 damage from one of your Pokemon with energy attached. Now, that's a great healer Pokemon. We also have its first attack for one grass and a double colorless energy, Solar Beam, with 110 damage, which is pretty standard, doesn't do anything else. And then we have that GX attack. Grand Bloom GX for one grass energy only. For each basic Pokemon in your bench, search your deck for a card that evolves from that Pokemon and put it onto that Pokemon. Wow. Of course, weakness is fire, resistance none, and retreat cost of 2. Little boy Leafeon, you're looking pretty interesting. Let's go ahead and start with you, Sigma. What do you think about Leafeon?
The ability, I don't care. But being an EV evolution in a time where we have energy evolution EV is a great place to be, mm-hmm. if it's any use. And I think the GX attack is probably the most interesting thing about it.
Yep.
Because who cares about a green or a grass and a double colorless for 110? That's just fair.
Yeah.
But like I could see this being a starter in, say, a Decidueye deck because it's
yes.
pretty reliable getting your mm-hmm. Dartrix out if you can get a Bridget.
Yeah. If you can get a Bridget and grab 2 or 3 Rowlets and you start second and you evolve, you put an EV on front in the active. You use Bridget on your first turn, which is the second turn. Use Bridget, you grab 3 Rowlets, and then you put a grass energy on Eevee, which then evolves immediately into Leafeon, and use its GX attack, you already have 3 Dartrix on your bench.
Mm-hmm.
So by your second turn, you can already start looking for the Decidueyes and evolve them. That is Forest of Giant Plants in a GX attack, basically. Obviously, it's not as powerful because Forest of Giant Plants is a stadium and it allows you to evolve multiple times. This only allows you to evolve once, but it allows you to search for that Pokemon on your deck and evolve them, which is pretty powerful. Sorry, I got ahead of myself because I got excited. Basket, what do you think?
So I think that this is a card that could pretty much be teched into anything because of the fact that we now have what are those cards? What
Rainbow Energy?
There's Rainbow Energy, but then there's mm-hmm. also those other energy cards that give you 3 different types of energy, and you have to choose one of them.
Yes. Oh, I forgot the name of that one. Can you help me here?
Is boost the energy?
I can't remember.
Let's find out.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go ahead and search that real quick here. But continue on while we search for that card.
Yeah. So basically, this can be teched into very many decks because of that card and because of energy or because of Rainbow Energy as well.
Yeah. Rainbow Energy has become a real big tool in this, meta.
Specify, the fact that it doesn't specify the type of Pokemon, you know, it's not saying your grass Pokemon or your fire Pokemon or anything like that. Yeah. It's just saying each basic on your bench. So that means any single supporter you might have that needs to go, that's a stage one.
Or, okay, so the one you were looking for was Unit Energy LPM. But that provides a Psychic, a Lightning, and a Metal one, though. That's a
grass. We have GRW, though.
Oh, yeah. We do have a one? What was the name of that one?
Unit Energy GRW.
There we go, GRW. There we go. Okay, so that's the one you're referring to. Okay, continue on.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So so basically, this can be teched into almost any deck. That does mean that if you don't already have EVs in your deck, you'll have to make room and blah, 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 blah. But if you have any deck with EVs or any deck with Rainbow Energy, this thing... and
Might be a one-off.
Yeah. I mean, it could be a one-off, like maybe a 2-1.
Yeah.
You know, in a deck or something like that. If you are running grass, then this is great, because if you have the room for it in your deck, then it doesn't matter. Like, the coolest thing about this is that it does not need to be a grass Pokemon. It doesn't need anything, you know, just every basic Pokemon on your bench. Yeah. And I think that's really cool, and that there's... I'm sure there's a few decks that I can't think of right now that would really benefit from this.
Yeah. Of course. And those decks that would really definitely appreciate this are decks that evolves multiple of the same kind. I'm thinking about Metagross GS, right? I'm thinking about, we were just talking about the Decidueye, right? Mm-hmm. Are decks that depend on you to evolving the same one. For decks that requires you to evolve one or two, this might not be the card for you. I mean, we have for the Gardevoir GX decks, we do have the Diancie that allows you to evolve one Pokemon from your bench each turn with an attack using just one energy. So that alone is better for that deck. We're not saying that Leafeon will be in every single deck. It's just that if you have a deck that requires multiple Pokemon to evolve at the same time, which do not then rely on a GX attack to do any damage, of course, then Leafeon GX might be a card that you might consider having on your deck.
Yeah, and really quick, with the GRW card, this could be something that gets all the different supporters and all the different things you're trying to use in Water Box started pretty quickly too.
Yeah. The other thing that we do might want to, even though we do mention, we have mentioned that GRW card, remember that EV does evolve using basic energy.
Yes.
So if you use this on your Eevee, he won't evolve immediately to a Leafeon. So that might be a detractor from using that card. So if you want to be able to secure yourself to have Eevee on turn one, I'm sorry, Leafeon turn one, then you will need to obligatory play grass energy on that deck.
Is that so? I'm not saying you're wrong, but has that been solidified? Only because of the fact that, like, if you can call it whatever you want it to be, if you place that on there, would it not count as a grass?
That's the Energy Evolution EV's ability. I believe it's typed in. It says basic energy.
It says, yeah, the ability of EV says specifically basic energy.
Okay, all right, cool.
Okay, so moving on from Leafeon, we're not going to review these guys. We're not going to give them a rating, guys, because we're just talking over them. Our opinions might change from here to February. I should have said that from the get-go. This is us. This is our preliminary, I can't pronounce that word. Help me out, guys. Look at these cards and how excited we are considering the things that are right now, but these might change by our review episode. We might give you a completely different opinion on once that set arrives on this card, so please bear with us on that. This is just hype. So moving on to the next one, Basket, tell me about Darkrai.
All right. So Darkrai. HP 160. You can't have more than one Prism Star card with the same name in your deck. So,
oh, yes, because this, this is the Prism Star Darkrai, yes. Yeah.
Sorry, yeah. Its ability is Nightmare Star. When you play this Pokemon from your hand onto your bench, you can attach two dark energy from your hand to this Pokemon. That's pretty awesome.
It is.
And then for dark energy, keep in mind that ability. So basically two. It has Abyssal Sleep. 120 damage. Your opponent's active Pokemon is now asleep. Your opponent flips two coins instead of one between turns. If either of them is Tails, that Pokemon is still asleep. Weakness nice. To fighting times two, resistance to psychic, and retreat cost of two.
So, I should start with this one. So, this Darkrai is pretty awesome. Now, please remember, guys, that the ruling on Prism Pokemon, Prism Star cards, not just Pokemon, because Prism Star in general can come in any form, either Pokemon or trainer cards, or even supposedly energies. So these Prism Star means that you can only have one per deck, but of that same name, unlike the Ace Specs, right? The Ace Specs, you could only have one Ace Spec in general for the whole deck, right? So you could only hold one. Prism Star, you can grab as many as you want as long as they have different names. So you can't have two Darkrai Stars, Prism Star, but you could have a Darkrai Prism Star and Sol Galeo Prism Star, and maybe a other Prism Star, as long as it's just one of each. So that's the ruling on the Prism Star. Now, regarding on the actual power of this card, its ability is amazing. Being able to play two energies immediately when you play this Pokemon, that's pretty legit. And we've seen this before, if I'm not mistaken. I believe there was a, what's it called? The little squirrel Pokemon.
Pachirisu?
But I think there was a Pachirisu or the flying squirrel one. One of these, it was one Pikachu emulator that had the same ability where you, when you played them, you would play two electric with him. And that was used a lot because once you have those energies down, you can manipulate them as you want. I mean, if you could either have Pokemons that manipulate, allow you to change your energies around, this is great help. Regardless of that, that ability is super good. So I really like it. And its attack is not that too shabby. It's not shabby at all. Having it is quite expensive with four darkness energies, but it does have a solid 120 damage. Remember, this is a basic Pokemon. 120 damage plus your opponent needs to flip twice in order to hit twice in order to wake up. So it's legitimately good. The only problem is you can't really depend on this as a main attacker because you can only have one. So how good it is as attack? That's the real question, and I'm going to pass it on to our Sigma. What do you think?
If it was anything but sleep, I probably wouldn't like it anywhere near as much. But
yeah.
Sleep prevents retreat,
yeah.
Generally speaking. I mean, there's abilities that'll get you out of there, but that's a 25% chance to wake up, so that's pretty good. And the fact that it ideally gets you halfway to the attack is also nice. So
yes. Definitely. And remember, we still have Energy Switch. We still have other support that you can place those cards on that dark card, but you can move them around however you like. So it's really good acceleration, regardless of the fact that you are attaching darkness cards on it. Now, word of advice or of warning, you need to have those darkness energies on your hand. So make sure before you play that Darkrai Prism Star, you make sure you have two darkness energies on your hand before playing it, because if you don't, then you're just wasting its ability, which you could technically just use once because you can only have one of these cards in your deck. Basket, what are your two cents on this?
Well, I was going to point out the fact that you had to have them in your hand as well. But beyond that, I like the idea of this card in because so you get your hand, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have seven cards. If this is in those seven cards when you first get your hand, awesome. You can place it down and you'll get those two dark energies.
Yeah.
The problem, though, is that they have to be in your hand. So if you're having a deck, like a normal deck, then I imagine having two dark energies in your hand. For most dark energy decks, mm-hmm. then the issue becomes, are you going to have four in your hand or three in your hand to where you can actually place one and then have another one so you can start attacking right away?
Yeah.
So that's an issue. However, I do like it in, I do like the idea of it in the Guzzlord deck, because there's no chance that you're not going to have two energies in your hand.
Yeah.
and the biggest problem for Guzzlord decks that I can, you know, that I see mostly is the fact that there's cards where if it's a GX or an EX, then you basically can't do anything. And people have been getting around that with different cards. But I think this is one that could do the most damage and give you a really good chance of setting everything up that's on your bench. Mm-hmm. So I like this in a Guzzlord deck. However, I honestly, even though the sleep and everything is really cool, I don't see it really being like
impactful in the meta.
I can't see myself using this in anything but a Guzzlord deck.
Well, I beg to differ, because there is Darkrai EX from Breakpoint, and Darkrai EX from Breakpoint has one attack, which is his first attack, Dark Pulse, which is 20+, and it's this attack does 20 damage for each darkness energies attached to all of your Pokemon. So playing one of these automatically adds 40 damage to that Darkrai EX. So it is more support to Darkrai as well. So for those of you enthusiasts that like to have a Darkrai deck, and everything on that deck is Darkrai, because as far as we know, you can have a whole deck based on Darkrai right now, because there's EX Darkrai, there's GX Darkrai, there's regular Darkrai, and there now there's Star Prism, Ultra Prism,
Prism Darkrai. Star.
Prism Star, thank you. Darkrai. So it's kind of ridiculous, but that's an option as well. I mean, if you are hellbent in playing Darkrai and Darkrai EX is your main attacker, then definitely you want a Prism Star Darkrai on your deck, because that's an automatic 40 damage more that you're playing on your turn, and that's not counting the extra dark energy that you might be playing on that turn. Anyway, so it does going to see some play. It's not groundbreaking, but it's pretty legit fun. Now, let's go ahead and move on to the next one. And I'm pretty excited for the next one, as sure as Vigor is as well. So, Sigma, what's our next Pokemon?
We have Magnezone, and it's a metal type this time with 150 HP. It's a stage 2 that evolves from Magneton. And it has an ability, Magnetic Circuit. As often as you'd like during your turn before you attack, you may attach a metal energy from your hand to one of your Pokemon. So, and
let me stop you right there. You're telling me, Sigma, that in the current standard meta, we have two Magnezones, one electric and one metal, that do essentially the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Continue on.
Okay, its attack is 3 metal and a colorless for Zap Cannon that does 130 damage, and it can't use Zap Cannon during your next turn.
Trash!
Which is fine.
Whatever. We don't care about the attack.
Sure.
Its weakness is Fire, Resistance, Psychic, Retreat, 2.
So, Basket, we have a Magnezone, which basically has the same ability as the Magnezone Electric, but for metal. Mm-hmm. In a meta where metal already has super fast energy acceleration, what are your two cents on this?
Basically, I think that Metagross already has enough support to get it out there quickly, and adding a stage 2 means adding the basic and the stage 1. So I really don't think that Magnezone will see play in that deck. However, that opens up, stuff I'm probably not thinking about right now, but it opens up metal to have one dedicated, energy transfer thing. I mean, this is, as often as you like for as many metal energy as you have in your hand.
Yeah,
so
it's not a transfer itself. You're able to play as many metal energies you want from your hand on play, which is very amazing.
Yeah. So this has potential, but I don't see it affecting the biggest metal deck, which is Metagross.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Metagross doesn't need Magnezone, that is for sure. What about you, Arcebo? What is your sense on this?
Yeah, Metagross doesn't care about it. Solgaleo is probably something that will care about it.
Yes, hopefully. And we haven't even toggled all the Solgaleo that's coming in this set yet. But yes, continue on.
Oh, no, that's all I had to say. Metagross doesn't care.
And that's completely legit. So Metal has been known ever since Sun and Moon to be very good at... Well, even before that, even when Bronson from... I can't remember the set right now. Was in that allows you to do basically the same thing that Metagross allows you to do, which is grab energies from your discard pile. Metal has been known to be really good at energy acceleration. Now it's really cemented. It's like the Pokemon Company International decided, like, we're going to make sure you understand. Metal is all about energy acceleration, because we're going to discuss a few cards here, which is all about that. And it's quite ridiculous, really. But however, it is amazing to see Metal having a comeback. And I love Magnezone. And the fact that we have two Magnezone in standard play that does the exact same thing, but with each respective type, one for Lightning, one for Metal, I freaking love that. I can't have enough of that. So please keep on going. And it's just such a great card, regardless of its attack. It's a great, great card. But but we're going to continue on. And that is, we have another Prism card to talk about. And we just kind of talk about it. That's Solgaleo, the Prism Star Solgaleo. Prism Star Solgaleo has 160 HP. It is a basic. Let me just also let you know, guys. So any Prism Star Pokemon that is a Prism Star, regardless of its whether it's a basic or evolution, it will be a basic just like EX Pokemon were once upon a time. So that's important to note, right? You do not need Cosmog and its evolution in order to play Prism Star Solgaleo. It's already available to play as soon as you have it on your hand. Now, that being said, it has two attacks. It has Rising Star for one metal energy. Search for each of your opponent's Pokemon in play. Attach a metal energy from your discard pile to to your Pokemon in any way you like, which is pretty awesome. And then we have Corona Impact for four metal energies. It deals 160 damage. This Pokemon can attack during your next turn. It has a weakness to fire, resistance to psychic, which is pretty nice, and a retreat cost of 3. Sigma, let's start with you this time around. What do you think about Prism Star Solgaleo?
My opinions have improved on it since last time we looked at it. Yeah. Now that we see metal support in the set, it's actually pretty reasonable. And I guess 160 is actually a pretty nice number when you can throw a choice band on it and hit 190.
Oh, yes. That could knock out any GX basic Pokemon. Yep.
Most. I think Guzzlord does it, but
I don't think there's any 200. Is there a 200 a basic Pokemon that has 200 HP?
Wishiwashi and Guzzlord, I think.
Oh, so no. There's no. I'm kidding. Continue on.
But yeah, I think its attack is interesting. There's also the Solgaleo from the original Sun and Moon sets that has the switch ability if you want to play that in there. So yeah, it looks like a fun card.
It really does. Pascal, what about you?
I think anybody who's a fan of fire and doesn't like Volcanion is probably kicking themselves right now, because if this was a fire, then being able to, you know, because fire is always discarding everything, you know. Yes. So if this was fire, then they'd be able to just, you know, keep throwing it back on there. But unfortunately, this is metal for you fire users out there. But I think it's a very interesting card.
It is. It definitely is. It definitely is attack if you're playing metal. Its attack is pretty legit. Regardless of whether or not you're playing even Metagross, the fact that you do not need to evolve this little guy and just play it as a basic and attach one energy, one metal energy, and recuperate many metal energies from your discard pile alone makes it something worthwhile looking at and considering in any metal deck that you might be playing. Its attack might be good, but remember, guys, the thing with these Prism Star Pokemon is you cannot depend on them to be your main attacker because they're not going to be around. So would you consider putting four metal energies on this Prism Star Solgaleo? Probably not. You probably are going to be using the other Solgaleos we're going to be discussing on this episode. But that first attack should not be taken into account, taken out of account, because it's still pretty powerful.
Yeah, and I want to say one more thing about it too. The fact that this, you can only have one of these in your deck, to me, it's not that big of a deal because this is a late game card. This is something you pull out for your metal deck when you're ready for it, once you've expended your energy and you need something more. So I think this is – I think that the fact that you can only have one in your deck isn't that big of a deal as long as it's not prized. So
yep, I like that's it. A good thing. Now, we're going to go and pause it there. We're going to go on a quick break, and we'll be right back, continuing with the new section discussing even more Ultra Prism cards. So we'll be right back.
Good day, mates. Want something different? Then come on down to the Rhyhorn Steakhouse and try our new Southern Carlos-style Buffalo wings. Critically acclaimed. And this weekend only, Rhyhorn Steaks are buy one, get one half off. That's for you and your special someone. Rhyhorn Steakhouse is a proud sponsor of the Puckle TCG podcast. And at Rhyhorn Steakhouse, where if it moves, we'll serve it.
And we are back, and we're going to continue on with Ultra Prism's discussion on the new cards that have been revealed. And we're going to continue on with one of my favorites. It's pretty cool. Basket, tell me about Duskmane Necrozma GX.
All right. So, it is metal. HP 190. Basic Pokemon. For three colorless, it has Claw Slash, which does 60 damage.
Barely being anything, regardless, anything being good. It's just not. But continue on.
For three metal energy and a colorless, it has Meteor Tempest, which does 220 damage.
How much?
220.
How much?
200. And 20!
It's ridiculous!
It's insane. And you discard 3 energy from this Pokemon.
Wow.
For 3 metal, it has Eclipse Sun GX, 250 damage. This attack can only be used if you have more prize cards remaining than your opponent. Yep. And its weakness to fire times 2, resistance to psychic, and retreat cost of 3.
So, okay. So let's see if we can get it straight. We have a metal card right here, which we already know that metal acceleration, energy acceleration is a thing. It does 220. That means that with one toy span, it could be dealing 250 to any GX Pokemon out there. So it tells you, oh yeah, you can discard 3 cards. You have to discard 3 cards to use it, but we do have a Metagross deck which easily recuperates those 3 energies lost each turn. And it's a basic, and this is a basic Pokemon. So
and the Solgaleo we just talked about.
And the Solgaleo we just talked about. And the Magnezone, which allows you to put as many metal cards from your hand to your bench. And this will consistently, if it has choice band, do 250 damage to any GX, EX. And if it's not, it does 220, which will basically knock out any non-GX, EX. What is going on here? This card is ridiculous. Sigma, what do you think about this?
Well, at first I kept trying to compare it to the original Solgaleo GX, but that was a stage 2, and this is a basic. And this does 10 less damage. Oops.
And this is not a Prism card, and it's not even a Solgaleo card. We keep saying it's we keep comparing it to Solgaleo, which is no fault of us, because it is Necrozma Solgaleo, right? And it looks a lot like Solgaleo. But it's not even a Solgaleo, it's a Necrozma. So in a deck full of Solgaleos, it doesn't even take take your Sogaleos into account. It is its own card. It's Necrozma, Duskmane. And it's pretty incredible. Sigma, sorry, continue on.
Oh, no, I was just saying, 220 is absurd for a basic. Even if you are discarding three energy, you're getting those back. This is... Who cares about the GX attack?
It's stupid. Gardevoir is nothing compared to Duskmane, Necrozma GX. It's automatically knocked out. If you have a Metagross DX and you put two of these babies in your deck as main attackers, three of these babies as the main attackers in your Metagross DX, you will consistently attack for 220 every single turn as long as you have your Metagross DX set up. Which, believe me, I played Metagross. That's not that hard. It is possible. It's just so good. 220 is such a great number to have. And then you put a choice ban, and there you go. You knock out practically anything in the game. What's going on? It's ridiculous. Basket, what do you think about this?
I'm terrified. I think that, looking at what we've gone through of metal acceleration and everything like that, and then looking at this, honestly, I feel like 190... It like HP is a kick in the pants. If it was 180, there's a lot of things that
I agree with you. That's a great point you bring. Yes, that's a great point.
Mm-hmm. But the 190, that's what scares me, because that's hard to hit with a lot of decks.
The only things right now that could hit that will be a Lapras CX, which barely anyone is playing that. A Tortinator could hit that. Both of them. Meaning, if you have a choice ban attached to them. But other than that, you're totally right, Basket. It's hard to hit 190. Continue on.
Yeah, and on top of that, the fact that with Metagross GX, you can get those right back. So this isn't something that just, is like a trump card where you throw it out there and then like, bam, I took out that thing I couldn't take out. And now I'm kind of screwed. Like, no, this is something that you can recycle. And the fact that it's a GX means you can have four of them in your deck. And it's scary to me.
It is scary. It definitely, Duskmane Necrozma is a game changer. And much more than Gardevoir was. Because Gardevoir, we knew that Gardevoir was going to be really important because of all the support. And don't get me wrong, Duskmane Necrozma is also really good because of the support it already has. But still, the fact that it does so much damage, no matter, regardless of the enemy you're battling, it doesn't depend on weakness. It doesn't depend on anything else but itself. It is really a powerful card. My take on this is definitely a card that is going to make a huge impact on the meta. We are going to see Duskmane Necrozma GX decks around there. They're going to be there, and they're going to be really difficult to beat. The fact that it's weak to fire, the only fire deck right now, the only two that fire decks that right now going on are the Volcanion and the Ho-Oh decks. That's the only salvation it there is, because other than that, this thing protects you from Psychic, which means that Garbodor itself is going to have a hard time beating it, which is awesome, because Garbodor really does, for me at least, feel like it's really has... It has, what's it called? Overstated its welcome in the meta. It really is a powerful card, and it's one to, guys, once this set arrives, go ahead and make your and do yourself a favor and grab four of these immediately, because it's going to be a big player on the 2018 meta. Mark our words right now. We're saying it right here on December 5th, 2017, here in the Puckle TCG cast. Duskmane Necrozma GS is going to be amazing. Any last words on Necrozma?
Nope.
I do.
Go ahead.
It really upsets me because as a huge fan of Blissipod decks, this means that I have to have a choice band. I have to have the choice band on the regular Glissapod and throw down a Kukui in the same turn in order to take this out, when it can literally, if it's got the Metagross backing, it can literally one hit KO every single one of my Blissipod GXs. So
yes,
I don't like this card. I mean, I do. I recognize it as a good card, but I don't like it.
No, I totally understand, and I'm pretty sure that 75% of our listeners right now agree with you. We're like, this is an amazing card. We agree that this is amazing, but I hate it. Because that's how we felt with many other cards, like such as Night March. We're like, this. We recognize that Night March is a great deck. We just hate it anyway. Yeah, it really is. And if anything, in defense of Garborder, this will make Garbotoxin Garborder much more important. Because you want to be able to block those Metagross from recharging your Duskmane Necrozma GX. So that's a plus, I guess. Garbotoxin Garbodor might see my play. But otherwise than that, it's amazing. And we spent so much time on this card already because it's just that good. But we have to continue on. And that is with our next card. And that is Dialga GX. If I'm not mistaken, our Sigma, it's your turn.
Yep, Dialga GX is a dragon Pokemon with 180 HP. It is a basic Pokemon. Its first attack requires one metal energy. Clock up. Draw cards until you have six cards in your hand. Second attack, a metal and two colorless. Shred, 80 damage. This attack's damage isn't affected by any effects on your opponent's active Pokemon. And its GX attack. Three metal, two colorless, timeless GX. 150 damage. Once this turn is over, it's your turn again.
What? What did you just say? What did you just say? Repeat this attack for me one more time, please.
We have Timeless GX, 3 metal and 2 colorless, 150 damage. Once this turn is over, it's your turn again.
What is going on? What? That is incredible. Sorry, continue on. Finish the card.
It's weak to parry, no resistance, retreat 3.
Wow, Basket, let's start with you this time around. What do you think about Palkia GX?
First off, I'm really upset that the first dragon type card that has that only needs one type of energy.
Yeah, that's a good point, yeah.
Is Dialga. Because I think Dialga sucks and I think it's not at all. So I'm sorry if you're a Dialga fan, but this is really upsetting to me that of all the dragons that they've ever made, this is the first one that only takes one type of energy, and it's freaking the worst dragon Pokemon they could have picked.
Well, but they picked
it. But, you know, but I digress, you know. But, yeah, that GS attack also makes this card one that I recognize is good. Well, I mean, it still takes 5 metal energy, so...
Well, 5...
energy acceleration that metal has?
You know, I know, but I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah.
But, I don't... Again, I recognize this is a good card, but I don't like it. I do not like... I hate how in Yu-Gi-Oh! Or in Magic that I've always hated the... play mode of being able to just, you know, steal a turn from the other player.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I really like, this is a lot of salt right here. I do not like this mechanic, but yeah.
I know it's difficult. It really is. Because Dragon, so for a while now, Dragon has been in a bad spot. We cannot deny it. Dragon has become to be a joke in the TCG. Dragon, being dragon type, comes with its, not its benefits, but its counter benefits. You're not going to be super effective against anything, unfortunately, because dragon is just hardly super effective against anything, which is kind of ridiculous and stupid. But that's the fact. Other than that, though, this GX attack is amazing. The fact that you can deal 150 damage and then you get your turn again is stupid as an ability, as an attack. Regardless whether it means you have to pay 5 energy, 3 metal, and 2 colorless. Be metal, you can get that easily. Because we've already discussed that metal has so much good energy acceleration right now that this is easy to be done. Its other attacks, you don't even have to worry about them. All you need to know is that if you play Dialga GX, you are going to get an extra attack. And to me, that is mind-blowing. What about you, Sigma?
Hey, I don't want to waste my GX attack on this.
Really? Really? No, I love this. Why?
You only get one GX attack per game, and you get to do 230 damage? Okay. It's not that great of a card otherwise. And you're not doing anything with those extra energy on Dialga. It's not like you have to discard them for any attacks. They're just kind of stuck there.
True, but remember, we do have a Sarola.
Yeah, but still you have Dialga in your deck.
Okay.
Like, I don't think you ever want to run more than, like, one of these.
Oh, I'm not saying you should. I'm just saying itself, that one you're playing might just actually be... Imagine yourself being into a game, you're head-to-head, and you're able to do a GX attack with Palkia. Dialga. And allows you to have an extra turn. How much does that affect the overall game? I say a lot.
It depends on how things work out. I don't think it's going to be that important.
Okay, fair enough. We'll see. That's Dialga GX. Guys, I'm super excited for Dialga. Might not see any play. Might be, because I'm always wrong. But regardless of that, it looks amazing. But we're going to move on to another one of my hearts, because it's an evolution. It's one of my favorites, and that's Glaceon GX. Glaceon GX, being a water, has HP 200, which we already know that's standard for evolutions on stage 1, but it has an ability and 2 attacks. Its ability, though, called Freezing Stare. As long as this Pokemon is your active Pokemon, each of your opponent's EX and GX Pokemon in play, in their hands, and in their discard pile has no abilities, basically being a huge god border. Then it says its first attack for 1 water, a double colorless energy, Frozen Bullet. 90 damage, like does 30 damage to one of your opponent's bench Pokemon, which is really reminiscent of Darkrai's attack, Darkrai EX back in the day of Hidden Treasures.
Night Spear.
Also, if I'm not mistaken, it's the same attack that
Umbreon has.
Umbreon has, yes, you're totally right. And then we have its GX attack for one water, double colorless energy, Polar Spear GX, 50 damage times. This attack does 50 damage times the number of damage counters on your opponent's active Pokemon. Its weakness is metal, resistance none, retreat cost 0. Let's start with you, Sigma. What do you think about our boy Glaceon GX?
I mean, this just seems fun. anything that's attacking, or most things that are doing damage for double colorless and a type of energy is a good place to be. I like Umbreon's attack. I like this attack.
I agree. Yep. Which this makes it even faster and standard, which we could use Aqua Patch.
Yeah. Well, who cares? It's a double colorless. I don't really mind. The main issue is, hey, look, it's weak to metal.
That is the main issue. You're totally right about that. What about you, Basket?
Well, I think that, unfortunately, Glaceon GX is better than Umbreon GX.
We have to agree with you there.
And I'm upset about that because...
You've been upset with every single one of these cards in prison.
I don't know why. I've been really salty this entire time. I'm slipping all the negatives here. I don't know why. But Freezing Stare is really awesome. The fact that it's an ability, it's a stage 1 and everything like that is amazing. Frozen Bullet is a decent attack. There's nothing bad I can say about that. And then Polar Spear GX, I do like the fact that it's the number of damage counters on your opponent's Pokemon, which means that you can, like, you yourself can set it up to deal the amount of damage that you want. So I do like that, especially with the fact that you're able to choose to do 30 damage to one of your opponent's Pokemon, which means that you're... Yes. If you're able to pull that up, that means you're doing at least 150.
Damn, yes.
So that's pretty cool. And then with stuff like Tapu Koko, which the Tapu Koko promo, which I run, it's only double colorless, and you can throw 20 onto whatever you want on the bench. That's also pretty cool to me. I like this card. I think it's fun. I think that I don't run Water Toolbox, but having said that, I think not putting this in Water Toolbox would be a mistake.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Yeah, we should not forget that the fact that we had that Eevee that allows you to immediately evolve into whatever Pokemon you do that resembles that basic energy is a big plus. So having Glaceon GX on your first turn because you put that water energy on that Eevee is a big thing. So yes, this card is pretty good and it's going to see a lot of play. Now we're going to move on.
Really fast. I do like the idea that it's a water that's weak to metal.
Yeah, it's a nice dice.
I know that metal's been getting support through this. Yeah. But I'm just glad it's not weak to grass because water's almost always weak to grass.
Yeah, it's an ice type. That's what they do.
It's an ice type, so yeah, that will make him weak against metal, which is a negative coming on. But we're not going to stop there. We're going to continue on because we have a really, really different Pokemon to discuss right now. One we will not normally expect to talk about, but we do need to. Basket. Tell me about Luxio and why we're talking about Stage 1 Pokemon.
All right. So, Luxio. This is a lightning card. HP 80. Stage 1 evolves from Shinx. For one colorless, it has an attack called Disconnect. 30 damage. Your opponent can't play any item cards from their hand during their next turn.
Wait. You're telling me that a Stage 1 non-fully evolved Pokemon for one energy has the same attack as Seismitoad EX?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
What is going on? Continue.
Weakness to fighting times 2, resistance to metal, and retreat cost of 1.
I am speechless. This is not even a fully evolved Pokemon. Arsigma, please help me understand what's going on. What do you think about Luxio?
I mean, this thing didn't need to do damage, did it? At least it only has 80 HP. So dumb. One energy.
Not just one energy. One colorless energy. And you can deal 30 damage and block your opponent from using any item cards, just as Seismitoad EX used to do. But without the two prizes and without the extra energy. It's stupid. What do you think, Sigma?
That's going to be so... do you need Annoybat GX anymore?
I really don't. I mean, even if you do play... what's the evolution of Luxio? Sorry.
Luxray.
Even if you play Luxray, why would you when Luxio is so good on behalf of it? Yes, its HP is so low, but regardless of that, it's still so good. Basket, what do you think about Luxio?
I think that the fact that its HP is 80 and that it only costs one colorless, I think those things kind of even out. And the fact that it's a Stage 1 kind of even out to it being almost as good as Seismitoad EX.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this can literally be splashed into anything, which is really cool because That effect is awesome. And, I mean,
yeah, I know. I'm speechless as well.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking for a supporter, or you have a problem with people using items in any deck, like, there you go.
Yeah, Luxio is just there for you. It's a Sismitoad EX ready to be played at any deck with any energies, doesn't matter what. It is a stage one difference between Sismitoad EX with it, but still, it's still so much better because you do not sacrifice two prices when it dies, and you still have access to things like Muscle Ban. Is it Muscle Ban? No, not Muscle Ban. Sorry. Choice. What's the? No, not Choice Ban. The one that gives you 40 HP if you're stage one.
Dumbbells.
Oh. Dumbbells. Yes, yeah, so you have access to dumbbell. You have access to protect it even more. I love Luxio a lot, and still I'm thinking, why would you even play the stage two evolution of it? I don't know, but let's continue on though, because we are running out of time. We are being a little bit so let's go on ahead with Giratina, and this will be our Sigma. Tell me about Giratina.
We have Giratina Prism Star. It's a psychic type Pokemon with 160 HP. It's basic, and Prism Star rule, you know that already. It has an ability, Chaotic Star. When you play this Pokemon onto your bench, you may attach two psychic energy from your hand to this Pokemon.
Okay.
Its attack for psychic energy, Crisis Dive, 160 damage. Discard two energy from this Pokemon. Weakness Dark, resistant fighting, retreat.
So let's go ahead and continue on with that. So this makes a great companion to Lunala GX, which allows you to move over your energy. Being able to play two psychic energies when you play this is pretty good. It really does good synergy with that Lunala, but it is a star prism, so it means that you can only have one per deck, which limits its uses, but it's still pretty much a legit Pokemon. What about you, Basque? What do you think about this?
I'm not super impressed.
Okay.
That's only because it's to that Pokemon, and to my knowledge, Psychic doesn't have the same abilities as other types to switch.
Oh, no, they do. Lunala. Lunala GX does that.
Oh, that's right. It does. That's right.
Yeah,
that's,
yeah.
Yeah, no, you're correct. Then I like this a bit more. And then also with the regular Lunala, what is it, 40 times?
The right. amount of psychic, yeah, you're
yeah,
right.
Yeah. And a lot of Lunala GX will put one or two of those in their decks as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's pretty cool, being able to move these. The retreat cost of two, I don't know, does Lunala GX play Floatstones?
It will need to, normally, yes. It's not something that they will think about, though, if you ask them. Yeah.
Yeah. Ultra of the Moon gives it free retreat, too, I believe.
That is true, yes.
If it has a psychic energy attached.
Now, I would like to take a note that having two energy retreat costs is pretty much the worst energy, the worst retreat costs you could have. Even worse than three energies. And I explain myself for now real quick. If you have one energy retreat cost, that's super easy. You attach anything and you discard it and you can retreat it. So that's not a problem. If you have three energy discard pile, that's an issue when it comes to retreat. But it also means that your Pokemon is available to be able to pick up with Heavy Ball. And that's a plus. It means that you can use an item card to get to it really fast. So that's good. But two energy retreat cost leaves you in a really weird open vacuum where it's like you're too expensive to be able to compare to one energy retreat cost where you can just play one energy, and you're too cheap for Heavy Ball. So really, two energy retreat cost is the worst energy retreat cost of the game. Continue on, sorry.
Oh, that was it.
Yeah. Oh, that was it? Sorry.
Sorry.
And that's a great point. So luckily, though, we hope to see this does look like a great card. It might see some play, but Let's see. We can only guess. So let's continue on to the next one. And I believe the next one is Dawnwing Necrozma GX. Am I mistaken, guys?
Yeah, we can skip doing all the prison
stuff. Yeah, Mulana is not that big. So let's go ahead and move in to Dawnwing's Necrozma GX. Now, Dawnwing Necrozma GX is pretty interesting, and you'll see why. Actually, it's your turn, Sigma. Go ahead and take it out.
Sure. Dawnwing's Necrozma GX is a Psychic-type Pokemon with HP of 180. It is a basic Pokemon Ultra Beast, and it has the ability Invasion. Once during your turn, before you attack, if this Pokemon is on your bench, you may switch this into the active slot.
Wait. Are you telling me that this is the Rush ability from Keldeo DX?
That's what I'm reading it as.
Wow. Continue on, please.
Okay, it's got its first attack, which is 3 Psychic Energy. Flash of Darkness. 120 damage. This attack is not affected by resistance.
Yeah, we don't care about that. Continue on.
I do. Screw you, Metal. And Dark. Anyways, its GX attack is 3 Psychic. Eclipse Moon GX. 180 damage. This attack can only be used if you have more prize cards remaining than your opponent. Prevent all effects of attacks, including damage done to this Pokemon during your opponent's next turn. You can only use one. Whatever. Regular GX rolls. Weakness is Darkness, Resistant, Fighting, and Retreat is 2.
Basket, what do you think of our boy Dawnwing's Necrozma GX?
So I think this is a good, unlike the other one I was saying before, I think this is a good trump card to have in the Psychic deck. Just because of the fact that if you're starting to, if you're behind a little bit, then you can throw this out at any point and potentially knock out another GX or EXs. Are they still in the format? I can't remember if there's any.
There are a few.
Volcanion exists.
Yes.
Yeah. Volcanion,
so,
yeah.
Right, yeah. So you can throw this in there and do 180 damage, no problem. Just whenever the heck you feel like it, as long as you're losing. So I like that GX attack, coupled with the ability. Flash of Darkness, that's all right. It's a two-hit KO for most of the things you're going to be trying to take out. But that's a solid two-hit KO because you're doing 120 damage. Yeah. And it's not affected by resistance, so it's basically a guaranteed two-hit KO. I'm not crazy about this card, but I think this card is very cool.
Yeah. So what I like about this card is its ability. I don't care about both of this attack. They're fine, but the ability to be able to rush in, that is both Keldeo EXs and also Zoroark from Break ability into a basic Pokemon, which is what is important here. So you're able to rush in. If it has a float stone, you can switch on to whatever you want. That is amazing. We already know by experience, this is basically Keldeo EX. Keldeo EX had an okay attack, just like him. I consider Dawnwing's Necrozma GX to have okay attacks. They're not bad. They're just okay. They're really situational. But its ability, though, is all around amazing. So if you have a deck that depends on you to be switching around your decks, you really might want to play a Dawnwing's Necrozma GX because it has your back using its ability to rush in and be able to retreat any Pokemon you have that you need to retreat. How about you, R Sigma? What do you think about our boy Dawnwing's Necrozma GX?
I mean, I always like Keldeo.
So exactly.
Like, it didn't need attacks, but to be fair, I like this GX attack more than taking an extra turn. Because it essentially gives you an extra turn.
That is true. So, let's go ahead and finish this out with Palkia GX. It's a Dragon Pokemon. It's basic with 180 HP. It has 3 attacks. Its first attacks. Spatial Control for 1 water. Move any number of energy cards from your bench Pokemon to this Pokemon. And then its second attack, Hydro Pressure for 3 colorless. 60 damage. This attack does 20 more damage for each water energy attack to this Pokemon. Sorry, I have the hiccups. And then it's GX attack. Zero Vanish GX for 3 water, 2 colorless, 150 damage. Your opponent shuffles all energies attached to all to their Pokemon into their deck. All of them. Ho, 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 ho. Weakness to, weakness to what? To Fairy?
Yeah, Fairy.
And resistance to none, which costs 3. Arsigma, tell me, what is going on here with Palkia GX?
I wish it was a water type so I could use my aqua patches on it. And then I like this card.
Yeah, you have a great point there, yeah.
It's okay. I like it a little better than Dialga because it actually uses those extra water energies that go on it. Whereas Dialga never cared about them, but I never want to use it as an attacker because it's a dragon type Pokemon and that's never hitting for weakness.
Never hitting for weakness, unfortunately.
So it's always hitting for like mid 100 damage or something like that. So I don't care that much. The GX attack is cool against certain decks, but other decks don't care. So
yeah. What about you, Basket?
Again, I'm upset that this is now the second dragon that only takes one type of energy. I'm sorry. I think Dialga and Palkia are very weak in design. That's my personal opinion.
That is totally fair.
But I think they're both very weak in design. And again, they're pouring on the salt here because there's so many cooler dragon types. Anyways, the fact that, Sigma hit the nail on the head. I mean, the fact that it's not a water type, and so you can't use Aqua Patch means that it's going to be turns that you're taking to attach these water energy. Unless I'm mistaken. Is there some sort of good Palkia water
accelerator? Could be something, but...
What?
Palkia EX does something with that, but...
But it's not even worth mentioning.
Not great.
Unless you're water type, which Aqua Patch will help you with, there's really not much acceleration that you can think of.
Yeah. So, essentially, cool try, guys. But you made the mistake of making this a water or a dragon type.
Oh, which will actually be the quintessential answer. Sorry, guys, but you decided to make a dragon card. In overall, because that's the problem. In the video game, dragon seems to be the overhyped, powerful type. In the TCG, it is the, oh, I'm so sorry. Do you need to be, you know... Do we need to place you on the special category because you really are not that good? regardless of that, we finished off our news section, guys. Yes, I know it only took an hour and 10 minutes for us to finish the news site, but I felt that we really need to discuss these new cards because they're so good. Every single one of these cards that we mentioned to you today are so good. Depend on the situation, doesn't matter. They're really good. So... Ultra Prism seems to be a deck set that will completely change Pokemon meta for the whole of 2018. So it is very important for us to discuss these cards now before they are even released. But with that, we're going to end our news section. Yes, an hour and 15 minutes ahead. But we're going to end our news section and we're going to go out with Topical Beach because we need to discuss London. The international championship that went on there and what we can grab from there, what we can tell from the meta, what is going on, what changes do we have. Let's figure that out. But before that, grab your flip-flops, grab your sun hats, because we're heading to the beach. It is Topical Beach. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Topical Beach.
Hello, hello, and welcome back. We are at Topical Beach, which means please feel the sand in your feet and the sun in your eyes, because we're going to discuss what is the London International Championship, and we're pretty happy to have them, because we just being able to discover brand new decks out of nowhere that are just amazing and we really want to talk about them on this podcast, so let's go ahead and do that. So, in general, though, we're going to talk about the what is the the London Championships, and it's been an amazing ride with so many crazy decks that are showing up that one cannot just keep up with. So, Arsigma, tell me, what are the three main top 8 decks that we can see in the International Championships?
We have Buzzwalls. Mm-hmm. We have Glissapods. And we have a metal deck.
Yeah, we do have a Glissapod with Sodorak, which is quite an interesting combination we haven't talked about on this show as yet. Mm-hmm. We do have a Sylvani metal deck, which is surprising. And we have a Gardevoir GX deck that it's not surprising. It's still there, but it's actually awfully fun that we can only see one of them in the top 8. So the main thing about these international championship is that it really did break upon what we expected from the meta right now. We really expected to see a whole lot of more Gob Order. And that's not the case, fortunately. Because we only saw two decks that have Gob Order on the deck. And they only had it because they were combined with Glissapod. The rest, though, are completely new, amazing decks. So I want to talk about those really good new decks that we're going to see. And let's start with the Tord Reklef deck that he brings from Norway that includes Sodorak and Glissapod. So let's talk about that one deck that won first place in London. Now, this deck includes 4 Sodorak GXs. Right, and 1 Sodorak from a Breakthrough, includes 3 Glissapods, 3 Wimpods, and 2 Glissapod GX, with 3 obviously Tapu Lilis and 1 Tapu Koko, with a Mewtwo from Evolutions and a Mr. Mime from Breakthrough. This deck is pretty interesting because it is not as what you expect it is to be. Now, for those of you at home that don't know and should know at this time, because that is such an amazing card, Sodorak GX has 210 HP being a stage 1. Its ability, trade. Once in your turn, you may discard a card from your hand and draw 2 more cards. So it's a consistent draw card that you can depend on. And that's nothing to laugh about. But regardless of that, you still have 2 really good attacks. Riotous Beating for 2 colorless, 20 times damage for each of your Pokemon in play. So that can grow up really fast. And then you have Trickster GX. Choose 1 of your opponent's Pokemon attacks and use that as your attack. So it is really, really a very important card in the meta right now. Sigma, what can you tell us about this Sodorak Glissapod deck?
It's just a nice set of strong Pokemon. Being able to attack for a double colorless on Zoroark is really nice because you're usually hitting 100. Usually. Sometimes you hit a little less, sometimes you hit a little more. Russian Zoroark is still a thing that exists. And yeah, it helps. And it makes Glissapod work a little smoother too.
Yeah.
We have Mr. Mime, which I believe blocks your spread damage.
Mm-hmm. As long as it's not put damage on, yeah.
Okay, yeah. It blocks your Tapu Kokos that are attacking. Mm-hmm. Let's go with that. And then you got your Tech Mewtwo.
It's which cute. Basically protects you with Barrier, with anything that you might actually be attacking with.
Nah, you're just using the Psychic attack.
Oh, really? What does Psychic does?
I mean, we don't have Psychic energy to use the Barrier attack, so it just does 20 plus 20 more damage for each energy attached to your opponent's active Pokemon.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's mostly for your Gardevoir decks that pile all that energy onto one Pokemon. Yeah. It just does a nice bit of damage and tries to get that KOs for your big things.
Yeah, that's a great strategy. What are you, Basket? What is your opinion about Tord Reklef deck?
This guy is doing a much better job of playing Glissapod GX than I've been doing.
Okay.
I realized that Zoroark is, you know, it's a Zoroark deck. Mm-hmm. I realized that. But I've been trying to find something to deal with. Gardevoir. Gardevoir GXs. And that Mewtwo was a sly little toss in right there.
Yeah.
I really like this deck. Its versatility is really cool. It looks like something that, you know, if a player was like, hey, I want to make a deck that can deal with everything in the format right now if I get the right cards in my hand. And this looks like that deck. That is really cool. I really like the way that this deck is built. And it leaves it open to just, I don't know, so much. And it's really cool. I haven't seen a deck like this that could, really deal with any issue it came across in a while. Yeah. So this is super cool to me.
Nice. So I do have to agree. It's just such a wonderful deck. Zoroark GX, I knew it was going to be good. I did not know the extent of how good it was going to be. It's a really consistent drawer. That's nothing to sneeze about. And the fact that Galissabot does really take advantage of the fact that of being able to attack with just one energy, it is a very plus. So this deck made by Tord Reckliff, I have to congratulate you on your first place winning on the London International Championship, because it's well winning. This is a great deck. But we're going to move on to the second one. And that is a deck coming from Sikari Cleveler. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but it's Crackler. What I'm going to say. And this is a type null type of deck, Sigma. Would you like to walk us through this deck?
Sure. We've got three Type Null and three Silvally GX. For those who don't remember, Silvally GX has an ability that allows your basic Pokemon to have no retreat cost. And it has an attack for 120 for 3 energy. We have two Registeels from Crimson Invasion. It has the ability, it has the attack Turbo Arm, which is essentially Evil Tall's attack. Come back into them.
Exactly, basically, yeah.
We've got two Celesteela GXs, because of course those need to be here. A Genesect DX, a Kartana GX, a Rangaroo, Delmize, and some Tapu Lele.
For those who you don't know, Celesteela GX has three attacks. Its first attack for one metal, two colorless, Rocket Fall for 30+. This attack does 30 more damage for each colorless in your opponent's active Pokemon retreat cost. And its attack, it doesn't matter. Its GX attack doesn't matter either for this. Continue on, sorry.
As a note, for our Silvally GX, we have access to memories, and the memory we choose to go for here is fighting memory for likely all those Zoroark.
Yeah. Yeah, you're 100% right. So this is a really strong deck. I know that I was the one in our review of the last set to say this. So I just didn't see the potential of Silvally GX. And I have to admit that I was wrong. I still don't see the potential of Silvally. I know that this one deck made it to top 8. Yes. But Silvally, still, I don't see the potential, but it is still a great card. So don't take my word for it. I'm wrong. I know I am. However, it's already stated that this is a great card to have. Now we're going to continue on to the other deck, and that is a boss world deck. It's pretty interesting. Basket, you want to take this one for me?
Yeah, no problem. So, I'm sorry. I just lost it. Here we are. Okay. So, four Buzzwole GX, two Rockruff, two Lycanroc GX, two Remoraid.
Sorry to stop you there. For those who listening, this Lycanroc GX that is mini, that is talking about this deck, is the Midnight Form GX. The one that allows you to do, it's kind of like a Lysander on a Pokemon, where you, when you play Lycanroc GX, you may force your opponent to retreat a Pokemon based on what you choose. So this is the Lycan Raw we're talking about. Sorry, continue on.
No problem at all. Two Remoraid, two Octillery, one Zygarde EX, one Regirock EX, and one Zygarde, and one Tapu Lele GX. This deck is versatility as well.
Yeah, it's nasty.
Yeah, it's great because the majority of the attackers are able to go off of one energy right from the start. It can be really nasty. It's really great.
It really is. It did fifth place on the tournament, and it really does show the power the fight team really has at the moment. Bosswold is an amazing, great first attacker. The fact that you can hit for 30 and 30 on the bench for one fighting energy, that's not even counting if you use a strong energy, which, yes, this deck does include strong energy. That means that you can hit for 50 on your active and 30 on your deck. And that's not even counting if you have a choice band and you're fighting against a GX or DX. That means you're hitting for 80 and 30 on your bench. It just overall does a really good amount of damage. And Lycanroc GX as a supporter does not stop behind that much, because the fact that you could use Lycanroc as a Lysander is an amazing, great, great, great tech to have. Such a good deck. I love this deck. I want to build this deck for you guys on our stream. And then again, shameless plug, go to our Twitch.tv/ThePocketPodcast and see us there every Monday and Wednesday, and I'll have decks like this built for you guys. Anyway, continue on. R Sigma, what do you think about this one deck?
I like this deck. It gets to survive on the fact that for some reason, we have lighter Garbodor lists right now because everyone wants to be playing Zoroarks. Yeah. And this punches Zoroarks.
That is true. So before we do end this segment, though, this is going to be a quick segment. We really want to spend more time on the Ultra Prism cards than the tournament itself. I want to do make a note that one thing we didn't see that much, because it did appear, but that not much, it was Garbodor. And I want to make a note on that. That is really significant, because that means that we do have a really overall a meta that doesn't depend on abilities and doesn't depend on being able to knock out psychic Pokemon. And I really do enjoy that. So the fact that Garbodor only show up once in the top 8 and 3 times overall in the top 32... I really appreciate that. That means that this is a healthy meta, and we're seeing so much more strategies and potential discoveries to do on this meta that just blows me away. Overall, it's amazing. I love it. So, with that being said, let's move on to who made number 16? And you might say, Jashiro, why are you talking about number 16th on a tournament? Especially an international championship. I mean, we always only specify on the top 8 because there's the top 8 decks, but no. We really want to discuss the top 16, and specifically this one, because no one saw this one coming, and I'm pretty sure that no one talked about this on any podcast around there. No matter what, this one is really worth talking about, and that is, get this, guys, a Heatmore Raichu deck. And I'm in love with it. Totally in love with it. Please, Sigma, walk us through this.
Okay, so our feature piece of this deck is 3 Heatmores. And what does Heatmore do, you may ask? Well, for a double colorless, you get to flip 2 coins. And for each heads you get to pull a card from your discard pile back to your hand. So, to support this attack, of course we're running Fliptinis. Because that's back in the format.
For those of you at home that do not remember the Fliptinis, this is a really old school card that's been reprinted a number of times, and it's super awesome. Let me read that for you right here. It's loading. Vertini, 70 HP is not that bad, but Victor Star's ability, once during your turn, after you flip any coin for an attack, you may ignore all results for those coin flips and begin flipping those coins once again. You can't use more than one Victory Star ability each turn. Continue on, Sigma.
Oh, okay. So now we get to, well, we're also running a Durant because no. For our support, we have four Raichus from not Crimson Invasion, but Burning Shadows. And it, Raichu's ability is when it evolves, it paralyzes your opponent's active Pokemon. And you're also running four Devolution Sprays, so we can keep doing that. With those items we keep pulling back from Heatmore.
This is a total troll deck, right? This is a mill deck, a reminiscence of that Warlord EX, which we saw in 2015 US Championships. It is a deck completely dedicated of you not attacking damage-wise, just your deck, your opponent's deck-wise, where you want to make sure your deck, your opponent's deck just hits zero as fast as possible. And the fact that this, a mill deck, reached 16th place in a meta, which is all about how fast and hard you hit, it blows me away. I love it, and I can't get enough of it. It is so good, guys. I really wanted to share with you the deck list with you guys so you can experiment on it and play on it. It is just so great. Baska, do you have any 2 cents to put on this?
I'm just excited that for a while, mill decks weren't an option. People kept trying, you know, with the different mill cards that would come out.
Yeah.
And I just think it's fun that there's one out there right now in the format that can reach 16th place. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, it was 781 Masters, and it got 16th
place. Wow, that is a big deal. I love it. So let's go ahead and give credit where credit is due. I really want to credit our boy Sander. Let's see if I can pronounce this correctly. Wasik? I assume.
Sure.
Sander Wasik. Took 16th place in the London International using this Heatmore/Durant Raichu deck. And I really do appreciate it. It's a great deck. And I really want to see more of this going on. Now, let's stop here, guys. Because we could go on and on with everything happening in the meta. I'm going to just ask you one more question before we go to Trainer's Mail. And that is, guys, based on what we've seen on this London matchup, the top 8 and top 16, what could we expect of the meta going forward? Is both Gardevoir and Garborder done for, or is there still a chance for them to be, just be around? What do you think? Let's start with you, Arshigma. What do you think about this meta in the London International Championship?
It's a little awkward because Zoroark, I believe, can just one-shot Garbodors if you have a full bench. Mm-hmm. And that's probably what makes it a little harder to play those.
Yeah.
Right. And, like, if you get your Zoroark shut down, I can last a turn or two while I'm still... and I'll be okay.
Do you think you will see more Garbotoxin Garbodors working out?
Like, I think we'll see less Garbodoxin, especially... Like I was saying, like, Zoroark doesn't care, and Zoroark is what's taking over. Like, you can play Zoroark in just about any deck that's playing a double colorless.
That's true, yeah.
And it gives you nice support, and it helps, and it can deal with Garbodors.
Do you think there's a future for Gardevoir GX?
Right now, I still think there is. We'll see what happens after the Ultra Prism set comes out. I still hear a lot of top players saying that they really want to be playing Gardevoir GX because people, despite the fact that a metal deck did well, at, like, League Cups, I guess people aren't playing it as much. So we'll see.
I really personally hate Gardevoir. I don't know why. But Basket, what are you to say? So we do see that we have a less amount of Garbodor, but a more amount, a bigger amount of cards like Buswold, Zoroark, and Galissabot. What do you think this means for the future of the meta? And if London International Championship reflects anything of what we see in the future?
So honestly, in my personal opinion, I think that what we've seen in the London... was it a regional?
No,
it's the international.
International. So in the London international
tournament.
One of the things that stuck out the most to me is that this is going to be an extremely hard meta to call because you have Zoroark, right? Mm-hmm. That is basically trying to be able to take on any deck that it comes across, right? And it has the cards to do that. Then you have Fairy, which is really strong in Gardevoir GX, but you have Steel that counters that right now. And then you also have Fire that counters that right now as well. So I think it's really interesting. And honestly, I think between those four decks, what's going to top and like in, you know, I'd say, yeah, like top 20, you know, anything that's going to top 20, it's going to matter what people bring. And I feel right now more than anything like that I've seen before, it's a meta call. There's more, if there's more fairy, or if you're going in with a steel deck thinking that there's going to be more fairy because Gardevoir GX, even though people are saying it's on its way out, it is still so fast and still a really strong deck. So I still see people playing that, like no problem, you know? And if there's less Zoroark there, then it's going to thrive. And if there's, but you know, if there's not very much Zoroark, maybe steel comes in strong. But if everybody's expecting Fairy Gardevoir, they might bring Fire to combat the Steel that everybody else is bringing. So honestly, I feel like it all depends on the meta right now for each individual tournament. And I think that's really exciting because I think that's going to bring so many different decks to each tournament. And I think that's really cool.
Yeah, it feels open.
It really does feel open, and it's a great, great point to end this topic discussion with how great our meta is right now. Now, with that, we're going to end our topical beach, and we're going to go straight to trainer's mail and discuss your emails real quick, and then end with Pokemon 20 questions. So, with that, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to us rambling about the meta and the new cards from Ultra Prism. We're going to go ahead and go to trainer's mail. We will be right back.
It's Trainer's Mail.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Trainer's Mail. We'll discuss you guys' email towards us, which we really appreciate it. Let's go ahead and start with the first one, Basket. Take over.
All right. So this one is from F1V3s. Just wanted to drop a line with a suggestion for future episodes. One of the first I listened to was the one with Heidi Craig, and it is still one of my favorites. The amount of insight and just amusing stories was awesome. More interviews like that would be great. Big fan of the cast. Thanks again. Thank you very much.
Thank you, F13Vs. And yes, I have to agree, that one was one of our best episodes. And I say that with great, great pride because that was the one episode I was not in. but I still love that episode because, yes, it brought so much great insight. Heidi brought so much experience from her so decades-old experience in TCG. I really want to have her back. That I will talk to Gator to see if we can make that happen. But I also have to reach out to more experienced gamers out there and have more interviews like that. I hear you. I listen to you. I agree with you guys. I will make this happen. So soon we'll have more interviews for you guys to listen to. Thank you so much, F1V3s, for your recommendation, because I do agree we need more interviews in this podcast for sure. So thank you so much. And also thank you for your submission on the segment tags. I will not comment on them yet because I want more to come in. But thank you so much for your submissions on your segment tags. I love it. Bring more. So let's go on with the next one. I'll go ahead and tackle the Really V, our boy that always keeps us up to date on our Poco TCG Facebook group on all the Poco Beach news. The Really V, he says, "What's up, TCG crew? Evie here for another mail back. Kind of last minute, but taking last night to Yashiro on the TCG stream last night. By the way, have you been there? No, you say? Well, friend, you don't know what you're missing. you see things like the TCG gods cursing not only on draws, crazy fun new decks, and last but not least, our always welcoming chat. Well, enough about the stream, and I have to agree, everything he said is right. Join us on our TCG stream on Twitch every Monday and Wednesday. You're going to have a blast. Anyway, enough about the stream. As we were talking about the where PTCG Go could go in the future, like one system like the Switch, I bought up what about our phones, and Jashira informed me why we're not getting a direct port on our phone. So he's saying, like, he brought up the fact that why we don't have PTCGO on our phones, and I answered that on our stream. And I mentioned to him saying, like, the problem with the phone version of the PTCGO is that Pokemon PT, the international company, actively decided not to bring the phone app, the app to the phones because they consider it to be too small of a screen, and they think that that will hamper the the enjoyment of the PTCGO on the screen for general players. I mean, us hardcore players don't mind, right? We know, we see a card, we being hardcore gamers, we know what that card does. But for general non-gaming ones, right, if they download the app and they start playing PTCGO on their phones, they might have issues trying to read what each card does, and that's why they decided not to continue on doing PTCGO on the phone. But that's not the end of it.
Let's continue. Can I comment this real quick, though?
Yes, go. Right. Yes.
Because I think that's complete BS. So I don't want to say the name of the site, only, and I've said this before on the TCG, like, way long ago. I don't want to say the name of the site because I don't want that site to get in trouble or anything like that. But if you Google it, you can find a way to put it on your phone, and it's extremely
Android, yes.
easy. And it's amazing, and you can read everything. So I think that's BS. I think they
it
don't
is BS.
Want to. I don't think they want to allot the money to doing that for some ridiculous reason.
Yeah,
but
to,
it is
defense,
there,
though,
and you're able to use it. So I would highly recommend doing that if you are a fan and you want to be able to play on the go. Because if I had to sit down at a computer every time I played, I would never be able to play.
And granted, what Basket just said is exclusively for the Androids, because there's real no way of doing it on your iPhone unless you break your iPhone, you break it and...
Yeah, jailbreak it, yeah.
Jailbreak it. So on the Android, though, there is ways to getting that app on your phone, and it's not that hard. So it's what Basket is saying. What I do defend the Pokemon TCG is, like, they're not thinking about you and me, right, Basket? They're not thinking about us hardcore gamers that see a card and know what they do. They're thinking about the average Joe, right? Joe Smith, that only plays the Pokemon TCG because, oh, hey, it's free on the App Store. Let me download it, right? For them, it might be an issue because they will have to read every single card that comes out. And in a tiny screen as a phone might be an issue. I'm not saying that they're right. I still agree that, yes, this should come to a phone. But at least this is the what they're calling out to be the actual reason why they're not doing it. Now, continue on the email, though. Let's go ahead and do that. It says, as we are talking about the where the PC could go in the future, like one system and the Switch, I bought up what about our phones? And you should inform me why we're not getting a direct port on our phones, which is just explained. But then said we could be seeing a watered down, or should I say different version of the TCG we know now. And that's what I was told. There is rumors. There is some things going on. There's something behind the screens, where behind the stage, where we are going to see a new TCG game. Not PTCGO. There is a phone app game that is coming soon. We are imagining... suspecting that it's going to be in the lines of like the Yu-Gi-Oh game that is on the phones right now, where it's a standalone game where it's very different from PTCGO, but it still allows you to play TCG and collect cards, and it's completely different. So there is a plan to bring TCG onto the phones. It's just not PTCGO, right? It's not Pokemon Trading Card Online. Which you could play on the PC, on the iPad, or your tablet. It is a brand new game that is coming out and is possibly going to phones. Let me go ahead and continue this email. It says, but then said we could be seeing a watered down, or should I say different version? Yeah. I got me thinking. There's a lot of people that play Pokemon TCG. I'm a fan of other card games, and one that I play on my phone quite a bit is called Yu-Gi-Oh! Which we just is called Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel. Lynx, so watered down version of Yu-Gi-Oh! Or they are only let certain cards from over the years and cut the deck down in half. Says, I got to say I enjoy it a lot more. Yu-Gi-Oh! Normal form. I got to enjoy it even more than the Yu-Gi-Oh! Normal format. So do you think we'll see a smaller format for Pokemon, starting with an updated base set and moving forward from there? You will have main missions that you can go through and face NPCs to level up and unlock cards and abilities, but you still have PvP options. Well, guys, thanks for reading these emails. If you get to it, and I know you got, it's kind of long. Sorry for the bad grammar and misspelling. I wrote this in a hurry. I knew you guys were recording soon. Thanks to you guys, and have a great day. For no worries about it. Derulivi, thank you so much for your email, and you brought a lot of decent points. Yes, what you said is in the plan. So there is a new TCG game coming in. We don't know the details. We don't know what's coming in. But there is a new TCG game coming for the App Store. And we're waiting really desperate to see what it's going to be. It's probably going to be something in the likes that you just mentioned. Yu-Gi-Oh! Lynx. Where it's its own game. Its own thing. But it is definitely coming. And it's definitely not PTCGO. Sigma. What do you think about PTCGO on the cell phone? Or this potential new game that might be showing up?
I'd kind of be interested in some kind of specialized game for a phone, but at the same time, I played Duel Links. I played it for like 2 weeks, and then I'm like, I want to play Animal Crossing instead. I need to free up the space. Because Duel Links was taking up a gig and a half of data on my phone. And that's just
that's important, yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of phone data, and it's just like, no. Yeah. I mean, it was a cleverly designed game specialized for mobile, and I know that Magic the Gathering is also working on a digital product for themselves as well, because their current client looks like it's from the 90s still. Yeah. But it seems like the direction a lot of online card gamers are going, it doesn't affect me either way, because I'll still be playing this way. So,
Justin, what about you, Basket?
To be completely honest, I absolutely hate the idea. I think they're wasting time. Oh, okay. First off, I think they will make money off of this. I'm not, I mean, there are people that are going to buy it because they're fans of Pokemon. There are people that are going to buy it because maybe they don't understand that it's not the real TCG. It teaches them the right mechanics so that they can get into the TCG easier. But personally, I think it's stupid, because why would you create some sort of like some other sort of meta when you put so much money and so much effort into creating the TCG meta and you have it available? It's been proven to be able to work on phones, and you can read everything. You can see everything perfectly. I do not understand why they're doing this. And honestly, it hurts. It hurts me.
It would probably be used as a gateway to get people to be playing the actual
game. That's what I was going to say. They're probably hitting that target where it's like the casual gamer.
That's totally fine. But I also think that it's extremely easy to go in and just play the matches against the NPCs on PTCGO and learn. And as a casual gamer, you could just play that. Like, it's not hard to learn. They explain everything really easily. The AIs aren't hard to play against or anything like that, really. And I feel like it takes no effort at all other than, like, 30 minutes to get a basic understanding and play it that way. So, I don't know. I mean, if they create some sort of weird alternate meta based off of this or change game mechanics, I think it's stupid. I'm sorry.
No, that's a good point. So with that, we're going to end this segment here. Thank you so much for your emails. We're going to move on to the last segment of the show, which is everyone's favorite Pokemon 15 questions. So after these brief messages, we'll return with that. We'll be right back.
Who's that Pokemon?
And welcome back, everybody, and welcome to everyone's favorite. I know it's been a few weeks, I know a few months, I know it's been a while, but everyone's favorite Pokemon 15 questions is back, ladies and gentlemen. Yay! Hooray! We're gonna go ahead and play our co-host and see if they can guess the Pokemon that I'm guessing here. As you guys know, no websites, no internet, no Pokedexes, lower your browsers. Nothing is allowed other than it comes out from your brain. So you need to figure out, using 15 questions, what's the Pokemon that I'm thinking about? Rules, as you know, no generation questions. No outside of game questions. So no whether or not it comes out in Heart Gold or Silver. No. It has to be based on in-game questions alone. No Pokedex's number either. So you can't ask if it's the Pokemon around 200 and 250. No. You have to ask more specifically than that. So the order is going to be basket first, Sigma following that. And I have my Pokemon right here. So let's go ahead and start the game. Sigma, I'm sorry, Basket, what's your first question?
All right, my first question. Is it a dual type?
It is. Sigma, second question.
Okay, let's see if this one goes anywhere. Can this Pokemon hatch from an egg without an incense?
Yes. Wow, that's pretty specific. Okay.
I'm just getting rid of baby Pokemon because they throw us off. Okay, so it's a basic Pokemon is what we got.
Well,
if it hatches from an egg, it...
Okay, would... so no, it doesn't hatch it from is... eggs.
Then. Yeah. Oh, okay. Like, can it hatch from an egg?
Yeah, okay.
Without using incense. So that means it could be a Roserade. Or okay. Roselia, not a Roserade. Roserade okay. Can't hatch from eggs. Yeah. That's crazy.
Basket.
All right. Is one of its dual types flying?
Yes.
Ooh.
There we go.
Sigma.
Okay. I think we should probably find out if it is the final evolution.
We should. Yeah. That'll help out a lot.
Maybe if... Can this Pokemon evolve?
No.
Okay. So it's a final evolution.
That counts for Mega Evolutions, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Go Basket.
All right. Is its secondary type normal?
It is.
Okay.
Go for Sigma.
Well, this is bad because there's a lot of normal flying types. Yes.
I mean, it is, but also in the span of four questions, we've narrowed down both typings. So
that is true. We have a lot of questions to figure out what generic flying type Pokemon this is. Because normal flying is as generic as they come. Oh, hey. So let's see. It could be kid. Well. No, I guess it can't be Pidgeot because he said he counts Mega Evolution, right?
I think our next question should probably be something on the lines of like whether it's a stage 2 or a stage 1, because that will narrow down the normal flying types.
Yeah, is it a stage 2 Pokemon?
It is not.
Oh, okay. Stage 1
for Basket.
Stage 1 that no longer evolves.
So it can be a Swellow. It can be. I'm sure there's more.
Let's see. Okay, so I'm thinking there's Rufflet and the Braviary.
Braviary.
There's Fearow.
Swellow.
Can you think of any others?
I'm sure there are normal flying types. Noctowl.
Yeah, Noct Owl. Oh, man. Wait, I feel like that's it.
Right? They're so generic.
Isn't it? For well, yeah, but most of the normal flyings, they're three. Stage they three. End in.
Yeah.
So, okay. How can we narrow this down? Maybe colors. Maybe colors would help. I don't know.
Let's see. Two of them are brown. Two of them are kind of blue red.
Yeah. Okay. So, does this Pokemon have red in it?
It could, yes.
What do you mean it could?
I don't know.
Oh, Fearow has that stupid red thing on its head.
Well, but it also has red on its tail.
It does have red. Let's just leave it at that.
Okay.
We're not going with Shiny Noctowl, because Ash's Noctowl was Red Wing.
Shinies do include in this, by the way.
They do?
So that kind of...
That's silly because I don't know shiny colors. Okay, so we're still down to Dodrio, Noctowl, yeah. And Bravery.
Oh yeah, we do have Dodrio in this too.
Dodrio, Noctowl, and Bravery. See? Oh wait, no, because Noctowl doesn't have red, right?
He said shinies count, so it has red wings.
Oh, it does. Oh, dang it. Okay.
Your turn, Sigma.
Let's see.
You can ask if it has more than one head. That'll knock down one of them.
Ooh. Is a long... Let's see. Fearow and Dodrio have long necks. Noctowl doesn't have any neck.
Same thing with Braviary.
Yeah. Those are regular necks. Does this Pokemon have a long neck?
No.
Okay.
Okay, so... Noctowl or Braviary is what we're looking at right now.
Or Swellow.
No, because Swellow's...
Swellow's got a red patch on it.
Swellow? Yeah. Oh, I'm totally... Well, no, because that... Does it not have a middle evolution?
It's just a two-stage.
Really?
Yeah.
My mind, okay, I don't know what's going on. I need to replay Gen 3, obviously. Okay, this will narrow it down. Does it have the color blue on it? Or can it?
It could.
Okay, so then it's either Talo or it's Braviary, because I do not believe that... Dodrio was the other one. I don't think Dodrio can get blue, right? It's shiny. It does not have blue, correct? Or does it?
Well, we got rid of it with a long neck, so.
That's right. Okay. So then what were the other... Oh,
we have 10 questions now, so Sigma, Noctowl. What's your 11th question?
Yeah, we got rid of Noctowl. Okay.
So now we have Swellow and Braviary.
Yeah. Well, Swellow glides in its sprite and Braviary flaps. So does this Pokemon flap in its sprite in Gen 6 and 7?
Yes, it does.
That was really good. I would not have thought of that. To narrow it down. That was
basket.
Awesome.
What's the question? All
right. Is this Pokemon Braviary?
It is Braviary. Congratulations, guys. It is definitely Braviary. This is, of course, number 628 on our national Pokédexes. Braviary! As Ultra Sun says, the more scars it has on its front, the more heroic it's considered to be. Those with many scars on their back are mocked by the flock. Congratulations, guys, on winning on the Pokemon 10 coin question, which leads to, sadly, this is the end of the episode. So let's go on in and finish this episode on all the ways you can follow us. Please go ahead, and I want to remind you that you can follow us on Twitter at Poco Podcast. You can also follow us on Facebook on facebook.com/PocoPodcast and also facebook.com/PocoTCG. It's our main TCG group. We also have a Reddit, which you can follow us on our Puckle, a Tumblr at pucklepodcast.tumblr.com. And last but not least, Make sure to review us on iTunes each time you give us a 5-star review. It allows other people to find us. If you have some money on your pocket that you can basically give us, please do. Every single cent that is provided to Poco goes back right back into the community. So go to patreon.com and begin a Patreon. We also provide a lot of prizes now. Right now we have an advent calendar going on for our Patreon. Please go ahead and join that. We really do appreciate every single head. And of course, go to our Discord and just join us on a discussion. Everything Pokemon is discussed in our Discord, and Pokemon Discord. So please do that. With that, I have to say thank you so much for our co-host for being here with me tonight and discussing this episode. Basket, thank you so much for being here with me.
Always a pleasure. So much fun. Thank you to everyone who listens.
Awesome. R Sigma, thank you so much. You're the best. Thank you so for being here.
Oh, it was a fun time tonight.
Awesome. And with that, you can already hear the guitar playing because it is that time, sadly, and that time is closing time. With that, I'll leave you guys. Catch you on the flip-flop. Adios.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.